Did the White House try to get rid of Karine Jean-Pierre? Biden shocked staffers by saying he will debate former President Trump. Plus, new polling suggests growing momentum in key battleground states. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre and the apparent failed coup last fall that was designed to get her out of the White House. Now, before I get into the details, let me just say that this really doesn't reflect well on the White House at all. As we've seen across history, some coups succeed, others fail. Normally, if you have some super smart or powerful or treacherous leader, they might put down the coup. So what does it say that a coup to get rid of Karine Jean-Pierre went down in flames? Is she that tough, or is the Biden administration just that inept? Now, according to the New York Post, Karine Jean-Pierre's complete inability to do the job, or at least appear to have some grasp on the issues, any issue, finally came to a head, and senior White House officials put a plan together to get her out. As the Post reports, White House communications advisor Anita Dunn and White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients invited prominent Democrats to lobby Jean-Pierre to move on from the White House. So, why all the cloak and dagger? Why not just replace her? Well, the answer is obvious. Jean-Pierre wasn't hired because of qualifications. Say what you want about Jen Psaki. She at least knew the issues and could do the job. Jean-Pierre was a complete and total diversity hire. She got the job because she checked the boxes, and she was celebrated by the White House because she checked the boxes. She wasn't heralded as an intellectual, a communications master, a political guru, none of that. She was touted as the first Black female gay press secretary. That's a lot of boxes, none of which have anything to do with actually doing the job. Instead, we get someone who doesn't know what she's doing, yet the Biden administration is afraid to fire her. The result is someone who says things like this.
What I will say, our deepest condolences go out, and our heartfelt condolences go out to the families who lost three folks who are military folks, who are brave, who are always fighting, who are fighting on behalf and of this administration, of the American people. Obviously, more importantly, we lost those souls.
Three folks who are military folks fighting for the Biden administration? That was the response to the drone strike in Jordan that killed American military men and women, and she can't even put a coherent sentence together. But this is what you get when you don't hire based on merit or qualifications. Here's Fox News contributor Joe Concha on the failed effort to oust Jean-Pierre.
And even if you just ask a Democrat privately, and you say, do you think that Karine Jean-Pierre is good at her job as White House press secretary? I can't see anybody, again, the objective ones, who would say that she is actually capable in her job. Karine Jean-Pierre, Jesse Waters always refers to it, calls her the binder because she always has to go to words that are written for her in that binder. And it begs the question, Carly, is there anything about the Biden administration that isn't scripted?
Good question by Concha. Everything is scripted. Everything is to project competency from a group that doesn't understand the issues or the American people. They are just driven by a Marxist ideology and then get confused and condescending when the American people reject their message and policies. Here's Jean-Pierre when asked about students shouting, "Long live Hamas."
What does the president think about young people in America saying things like, "We are all Hamas" and "Long live Hamas"?
Okay, I will say, look, this is a president that has been, since he's been in office, and the reason why he ran has been very clear about what he witnessed in Charlottesville.
Charlottesville. Seriously. But that kind of response is typical, and they can't get rid of her. I guess if you live by DEI, you'll die by DEI. All right, next let's talk about presidential debates. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, next let's talk about Joe Biden and presidential debates. Because the other day, I'm sure Biden sent shockwaves through his handlers when he went on the Howard Stern show and said this.
Can I tell you a fantasy I had? If you, sure. I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
Can you imagine the Biden staffers? It's just classic. Here you have a guy who walks like a robot, who can't speak even when he has a teleprompter, who can't get through a press conference even with scripted questions and answers. And on the other side, you have a former President Trump who is ready and willing to go.
He can do it anytime he wants, including tonight. Ready? Here we are. I invited him to the courthouse that he has us tied up in. We're willing to do it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night on national television. We're ready. Just tell me where. We'll do it in the White House. That would be very comfortable, actually.
Now, the whole idea that presidential debates might not even happen is just outrageous to me. The American people deserve and should expect to see the nominees for president debate in front of the country. But these are different times, and it's clear that the strategy from the Biden team is to keep their guy hidden at all costs and then pump him up with drugs for those rare moments when he does have to be in public. So will debates happen? Trump advisor Hogan Gidley says not a chance.
Well, that's where the staff was in the back going, no, don't say that out loud. They're terrified of that juxtaposition of having someone like Donald Trump who's with it, who has policies that the people of this country actually support overwhelmingly. They think he's better on the economy, the border, crime. They think he's better on foreign relations because he is.
Gidley hits on a great point. On one side, you have the mentally diminished Biden. But on the other side, you have his policies. The American people reject the Biden agenda. They favor Trump much more than Biden on a host of issues. And those issues would be front and center in a debate. And then, of course, you have the Biden mental and physical decline. And that would be on display in an environment that is not scripted or controlled.
Forget for a moment the physical decline, the cognitive decline. He can't put together sentences when he has the questions and the answers right in front of him. He knows what reporter to call on. You're telling me he's going to be able to stand up on stage for that long with Donald Trump? Listen. In these debates, what you want to do is tamp down expectations. I understand that. However, I think the country, especially those on the right, would love to see this because Joe Biden is lost without those speaking aids.
The American people should see Trump and Biden debate. They need to see how Biden reacts under sustained pressure without a teleprompter or scripted questions and answers. Do you think it'll happen? Let me know in the comments. All right. Next, even though Trump is having to deal with legal issues orchestrated by the Democrats, he is still able to get his message out there. And recent polling shows that Joe Biden is in bigger and bigger trouble. On CBS's Face the Nation program, the host explored some recent polling from the swing state of Pennsylvania. And the results are not good if you're a Biden supporter. Energy is a very important issue in Pennsylvania, and Biden has shown an overt hostility to American energy production. That attitude is certainly reflected in the polling.
And we're seeing in our polling the perception that Donald Trump would be better, 49% of voters said, than Joe Biden, 33%, on these oil and gas exploration issues.
The question asked to Pennsylvania voters was who was better to handle fracking and oil and gas exploration, and Trump dominates 49% to 33%. In other polling of Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin voters, CBS found that voters significantly favor the Trump economy over the Biden economy.
We asked them now, okay, has it gotten better? And very few people say that it has. In fact, many say they feel it's gotten worse. And inflation is the reason that they say that. But what's also interesting is we asked them, okay, look back to the economy during the Trump years. Mm-hmm. How do you remember it? And the majority say they remember it as being good.
That was looking back at the Trump years. And because we are able to make that comparison between Trump as president and Biden as president, voters in these key battleground states are saying that things would be better if Trump were back in office.
When you ask them, okay, now let's look forward, they say, more say, they feel they'd be financially better off under Donald Trump. And that cuts directly to vote. And that is helping the former president.
Voters in these key battleground states think Trump will do a better job. And with high prices, inflation, an open border, campus unrest, and a seemingly clueless White House, the American people are looking for a return to those times that just seem quieter, more peaceful, and certainly more prosperous. In the Real Clear Politics average of polls, Trump leads Biden by about 1.5 points. In the battleground states, Trump leads Biden in every one: Wisconsin, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Nevada. Is it any wonder why the Democrats are so focused on trying to put Trump in jail and keep him off the campaign trail? And next, here's some rapid-fire headlines from around the country. First, in the ongoing effort by the left to not only push Christianity out of American life, but to also inject chaos, disorder, and perversion, we go to Ottawa County Board Meeting in Michigan, where the so-called invocation was given by a minister of the Satanic Temple who goes by the name Lewis Cipher. The meeting devolved into chaos, and this was all the result of a change in board policy. As reported by the Daily Mail, an LGBTQ activist pastor filed a lawsuit against the county for not being selected to give an invocation. As a result, the board changed its policy in January to permit pastors to address commissioners provided they adhered to certain guidelines. And this is what the county residents get: invocations by Satan worshipers. Way to go. Next, in California, a Democrat state assembly member has introduced a bill to cut down on homework for students because it's just too stressful. Democrat Pilar Schiavo recently posted on X that, quote, "With local control and input from teachers, students, and parents, AB 2999 aims to create supportive, equitable homework policies for our kids' mental and physical health. Let's make homework more supportive and less stressful." More supportive homework? What does that even mean? I guess they want to make sure that students have plenty of time for left-wing protests and activism. You know, the things that really matter. Finally, Elon Musk is speaking out on the recent announcement by Ukrainian President Zelensky that the United States and Ukraine are working on a 10-year agreement for continued funding. 10 years. The House and Senate just voted to send another $61 billion to Ukraine after billions and billions have already been sent. Money we don't have. Keep in mind that our government runs a deficit every year, and these politicians vote to spend money we don't have as if it's no big deal. And now they want to lock it in for 10 years. Musk called the proposal insane and described the situation as a, quote, "forever war." Good for Musk for speaking out. We need to spend our money right here at home and take care of America first. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, today's show's one sheet is available to Patreon supporters using the link in the description. The one sheet gives you the links to all the videos and stories used on today's show, so you can dive even deeper into each issue. And with that, our next show will be Friday evening at the usual time. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.